Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I'm Amy Ravel. I'm a professional organizer based in Melbourne, and I love helping you achieve freedom from clutter. And my podcast co-host is...
Not only your podcast co-host, but also your business partner.
And my business bestie.
I am Kirsty Farija, also from the Art of Decluttering, but I am based in Sydney, and hence why you're hearing us in different spaces.
I don't think they could tell when we were together. Maybe they could.
Yeah,
it's been a long time, Kirst, since we've been able to do a podcast recording. It's been probably 20 months, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, but that's okay. Thank goodness for the internet.
Yes, we do love the www.
We do. Kirst, today is Are You Okay Day. We're not dropping this episode on Are You Okay Day, but are you okay?
I am okay. Thank you for asking. Yeah, people in my home are doing very well considering the circumstances we find ourselves in lockdown. Sydney, how about you, Amy? Are you okay?
Yeah, I was saying to you before, because we had a good mental health check-in this morning, I was like, I'm definitely not thriving, but I'm doing okay. And you're like, that's okay. We don't need to thrive in the middle of a pandemic running a business and homeschooling children and being locked in our homes with our families 24/7. So yes, I am okay. In fact, but to be honest, I'm more than okay. I'm pretty good, which is great.
Good.
Yeah.
So it is okay to not be okay.
It totally is, and there's plenty of times where we're not okay, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that helps both Kirst and I when we are not okay is just being able to say it to each other. Sometimes just being able to say it to a friend, I'm not okay, or this is really hard or frustrating or annoying or difficult or depressing or whatever, sometimes naming it and not having the shame of hiding it can really help. So... Top tip from Dr. Kirsty and Amy.
I had that experience with Simon when we had little kids, and as soon as he said something to me about how he was feeling, he felt relief. And as soon as he acknowledged that he wasn't okay, he then was able to start feeling okay. Now, I'm not saying that that's what happens to everybody. I'm not suggesting that that's all you need to do by any stretch of the imagination. But for him, that was all that it took to actually verbally process that he wasn't going okay.
Mm.
And then he could take steps. So we just really want to encourage you, even though it's weeks after Are You Okay Day here in Australia, that recognizing how you're feeling and understanding yourself is really important. And then being able to speak that truth to somebody who's safe is really important.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
We love you guys.
We do. And we really hope that you're okay wherever you are in the world and whatever things you're going through. We are here.
Yeah.
And we're here to support you in any way that we possibly can as far as decluttering goes.
Yeah, and, you know, we can just be your friends in your ears. So you can always pour yourself a cup of tea, put our podcast on. We're not very good at listening on the podcast to you, but you can hear us talk. I mean, that's half the conversation.
And you can hear us talk to each other and laugh and be silly, and sometimes smiling is all that you need.
What are we talking about today, Kirst?
We're talking about self-sabotage. So let's just like bring it down a notch again. But I think that this is actually really good. I think that was a really good segue into it, because sometimes I think that a lot of times with self-sabotage, it's actually acknowledging that that's what's going on.
Mm.
And so, yeah, and equally with are you okay is actually acknowledging how you're feeling is going part way to being able to find a solution to how you're feeling. So with self-sabotage, yeah, what does it mean to you and I? What ideas pop into your head when I say self-sabotage?
I think it's when you engage in a behaviour that is against your own wishes, dreams and values. I'm reading that straight off Google, people.
I was like, wow, that's really good, Ames.
I was like, this is what I think it is, but I want to double check. So this is from mindtools.com. Self-sabotage is behaviour that undermines your success despite your own wishes, dreams or values. And I just think, how often do we engage in stupid, like, self-sabotage is so flippin' stupid. Like, why? Tell me, Kes, why do we do it? It seems so dumb.
There's so many reasons why we self-sabotage.
Yes, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I think, one of the reasons that we're having this conversation today is because last week I had a couple of virtual sessions, and in those virtual sessions, self-sabotage came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, wow, I know if this is happening for two people in the same week in my life, in our clients' lives, then it must be the theme that we should talk about at the moment, because it's, and I think during COVID in lockdown, it's for us in Sydney and you guys in Melbourne, self-sabotage can be a daily occurrence. Like, yes, I want to go out and I want to be healthy today and make some healthy, mindful choices. I'm going to go for a walk. Nah, can't be bothered going for a walk. Mm-hmm. Like, self-sabotage happens. I know for me, it's happening on a daily basis.
I know, right? You think we're smarter than this, Kirst? Like,
we're not.
Oh my gosh, we are. But
I don't
not.
Think it's about smart. I don't think it's about intelligence. It's got nothing to do with 100%. Intelligence. It's got to do with, I think that it's got to do with understanding yourself and knowing who you are, and also, our habits as well.
Mm.
So, I mean, I've got lots of thoughts on this, but, yeah, it's, I know you were just being facetious and saying we're dumb doing it, but
it's totally dumb. Like, it's our brains, like, it's self-sabotage. Like, yes. To sabotage someone else is evil in and of itself, but to do it to yourself is dumb.
Yeah.
But we do it. Like 10 times a day, like procrastination in and of itself, I think is self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Like this.
So I think that it has got to do with our self-worth.
Yep.
It can sometimes, a lot of times, be to do with our self-worth
mm-hmm.
and lack thereof. And then I do think that the overcoming it can happen when you understand yourself a bit more than you may have already done. Like, I'll share what I mean on that soon. But
can I say that I think it would be a great episode to go back and listen to is our interview with Gretchen Rubin, because I think that, were you thinking the same? Yes.
This is what I spoke to my clients about.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Exactly. The four tendencies. And that episode was amazeballs because we got to speak to her.
Yes, I would highly recommend. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. But after you finish this episode, just go back and re-listen or listen to that one.
Yeah, because this is what I spoke to my clients about last week, was knowing what – so four tendencies, and the episode that we did with Gretchen Rubin was around the four tendencies somewhat. And the four tendencies is upholder, obliger, rebel and questioner. And upholders don't normally have too much issues with self-sabotage, although you could correct me because you are an upholder, Amy.
Oh, so many issues with self-sabotage.
But if you, but typically, like in Gretchen Rubin's definition of an upholder is that they meet their own expectations and they meet other people's expectations.
Oh, which one am I then? I'm not the one that meets my own expectations.
Aren't you?
No, I don't meet my own expectations.
Ooh, I thought you were an upholder.
No, I'm the one that meets other people's but not my own. Which one's that?
Obliger.
Obliger, that's what I am, an obliger.
Oh, I thought you were an obliger. I know that you're not. No, sorry, I thought you were an upholder. I know that you're not an upholder in some aspects of your life, but in work you are mostly an upholder.
Yeah, in work I am. That's true. But that's also because I love it. If it was a job that I didn't love, I probably would not be quite so much of a upholder in work.
Okay, so now your life makes more sense to me now that I know that actually you really are an obliger.
Yeah, no, totally.
I can see that. Okay, so everybody, an upholder is somebody who meets external expectations and meets internal expectations. An obliger, which is what Amy is, meets external expectations and does not meet internal expectations. Mm-mm. A rebel, which is me, does not meet any expectations of
rebel against everything
or of anybody else's expectations. And a questioner meets their own expectations and does not meet, well, and questions all external expectations. And in fact, they question their own internal expectations, but when they've answered their own questions, then they meet those expectations. Whereas a questioner will be that person who will be like, but why should I do that? And you have to give a reason and but why? And when they appreciate and get the reason and if it aligns with their own values, they'll meet those expectations, but only when it meets when it aligns with their values.
My gosh, we're complicated, aren't we?
We are.
So how does knowing this help, Kirst? How does know thyself help when it comes to self-sabotage?
I think it helps because then you can put some scaffolding in place. And let's get like educational. You can put some supports in place to help you grow or overcome your own tendencies. So, for instance, Amy, as an obliger, you do not meet your own expectations. So one way that Gretchen Rubin teaches is that you turn your internal expectations into external expectations because you meet those. So if you said to me, Kirsty, I want to go for a walk every day this week. Can you please hold me accountable to that? You would probably meet that because it would be me then saying, Amy, have you gone for a walk?
I wouldn't want to let you down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So turning those internal expectations into outer expectations helps obliges.
So
that's what I've got for you.
So in follow on from that, what does self-sabotage look like? So how does all of this help us know about self-sabotage? Is it because we know what we're most likely to push up against? Or is it because what we're self-sabotaging is actually we don't believe that we deserve happiness, health, wealth, friendship, intimacy, all of the things?
Yeah, and I think all of what you just said. I think that self-sabotage, because
I set you up for that, didn't I? I gave you that was good.
You did. Self-sabotage is your internal expectations, though. It's not your external expectations, often.
Yes.
So self-sabotage is probably, so upholders probably don't have that much issues with self-sabotage. Like look at you, for instance, because upholders meet external expectations and they meet internal expectations. So, and how Gretchen does it, the framework that she uses is that it's that Venn diagram, like the upholder links with, crosses over with the obliger in that they both meet external expectations. Yep. And the rebel is down the bottom and that crosses over with the obliger in that they don't meet internal expectations. Mm-hmm. And the rebel crosses over with the questioner because they don't meet external expectations. And the questioner and the upholder cross over in that they meet internal expectations. I hope I got that right.
And you did, and I'm really impressed. But I think let's put a link in the show notes so that if you're kind of...
100%.
If this is not familiar language for you, have a look at the diagrams because it will. It's a really helpful framework that she's developed and that we love using.
Yeah. So, therefore, self-sabotage is when you do something that you're not meeting your internal expectations because... otherwise, it would be not called self-sabotage, would it? If I wasn't meeting your expectations, it would just be annoying.
It would just be sabotage. Yeah, it would just be very frustrating.
Yeah. So upholders don't normally have issues with self-sabotaging, and questioners can or cannot, depending on where they fall with their things. But I know a lot of questioners who have issues with self-sabotage as well.
So let's take a sidestep from the four tendencies and talk about it in relation to decluttering and what we see with clients. How, without giving specifics, these clients that you mentioned at the start of the episode, what did self-sabotage look like for them when it came to their decluttering?
Let's even go broader than just these two beautiful clients and go out to all of our clients. I think self-sabotaging can look like having expectations of yourself, like, oh, I'm going to, this weekend, I'm going to absolutely get into the kids' playroom and declutter that, and then not do that.
Why would you not do it? And I know I'm being annoying. I'm just asking why and how a lot. But I want to continue to dig down to why would you set an expectation that you know you possibly won't meet?
I think we all set maybe not all. No, I think everybody sets expectations. And this is one of the conversations I had with somebody was around that word expectation and how we could change that to be gentler on ourselves. And so our way of, I don't know if this isn't quite answering your question, Amy, but let me go with what I was saying to this client. It was about expectations is that it's very black and white and can set us up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And expectations are generally not filled with grace and kindness. Here's an example. If I have an expectation of you, then you disappoint me or you don't disappoint me, depending on whether or not you do something. Whereas if I have an expectancy of you, there's hope and there's space in that. Am I making sense?
Kind of, and I think a lot of listeners...
It's a bit semantics.
Yeah, it is, and I think some listeners will go, oh, yes, I totally understand that. And let me add an Amy lens to it because I think the beauty is that we see things differently in a lot of ways.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah, I know, people would not have thought that yet of ever of us. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think self-sabotaging can look like is you set a really awesome goal that aligns with your values, but you haven't given yourself the expectation or you haven't given yourself the tools in order to get there. So what the self-sabotage looks like is you overreach without putting the steps in place. And so the sabotage is like, I'm going to declutter my whole house in September, but then you don't make any plan. You don't get help. You don't read a book. You don't set out, like, how am I going to do that? You don't organize rubbish removal. You don't have any supports in place. And so you set this like high and lofty goal, and then the sabotage is actually in the lack of planning. Or what I sometimes see is the sabotage looks like, oh my goodness. So that we see this with clients a bit is, oh my goodness, I can't believe how good the kitchen looks. Like, this is amazing. This is what I dream of. This is what I want my kitchen to look like. Thank you so much. This session's been incredible. And we come back in a month and the kitchen has stuff all out of place and the bench is messy again. And part of the client's psyche is, I'm not a good enough housewife that I deserve to have a bench that's clear. Now, they're probably not saying that out loud, but that is the thought that's going on. It's like, well, yes, I had it. I loved it. I don't deserve it. And so then they take actions that align with I don't deserve it rather than I love this. You know, you're choosing to align yourself with a lie rather than the truth, which is often what self-sabotage does. Does that make sense?
Yes.
To yes, anyone else?
It does. No, it totally does. And that's where, like, I think that digging into your reasons as to why you self-sabotage is really useful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, coming back to the start where I said, well, actually, I think self-sabotage comes a lot down to self-worth.
Yep.
And your identity. So, and it comes down to your personality as well, which is what the four tendencies is around, an aspect of your personality, which is how you meet expectations, but also self-worth, which is what you've just identified, that when we dig into things sometimes, we realize that it does come back to our self-worth. And also, like you said, is putting those structures in place to help us to achieve our goals.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Like, yeah, I've been listening to Dylan Alcott's audiobook, and, like, nobody goes out to win all these tennis championships. Like, my goal is I'm going to win the US Open, I'm going to win the – I don't even know what the British one's called, sorry.
Wimbledon.
Dylan, thank you. And I'm going to win Oz Open, and I'm going to win an Olympic gold. Like, nobody sets their mind to that and then doesn't go, and here's the training schedule, and here's my coach, and here's my physiotherapist, and here's my whatever, whatever. Like, if you set lofty goals – you have to put the supports around you, or you are unlikely to reach it.
Yeah. And that's, I really believe that in our belief of habits, habits will get you. And that's exactly what you were talking about too. Like, Dylan's put in supports, but also built in habits and those supports.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to encourage you today is to, how can you structure something so that you have the support that you need to do it, And how do you create habits, or how do you break it down into tiny micro habits so that you can achieve the bigger habit or the bigger goal of decluttering the whole house? So, and that's where, you know, I've had conversations with clients before, and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast as well, is that they're wonderfully organized at work and can kick massive goals at work. They can't when it comes to their home though. And I've said it, I know I've said it on the podcast, but I'm going to say it again because it's the perfect timing, is that it is because they don't believe they're worth it. They don't value themselves. They don't love themselves. They don't see their value in themselves to actually be putting in the work that they want. In theory, they want their home. Like they, and they believe in theory that they're good enough. And they believe that they're worthy and valuable, but their practices and their habits don't align with that.
So, Kirst, how, as Aussies, nobody likes someone that's up themselves, right? Like that's the ultimate Australian, you know, put down.
Tall is
that, yeah, up yeah. yourself, yeah. right? So how do we place value on ourselves without the, you know, that
overestimating
that, that's
ourselves.
Right, and the culture that says to us, who's, why would you deserve that if someone else can't have it? Why do you deserve to have a beautiful house when so many people can't afford it? Why do you deserve to have a decluttered house when other people can't afford it? Why do you deserve to have this, that, and the other? Talk to us, psychology, Kirsty.
Oh,
no
do
pressure.
Do not put that.
Yeah, sorry. That's the thing we tell people all the time. We are not psychologists or counsellors or anything.
I think that that is a huge conversation starters. And I think that we can also work on our self-worth and work on our self and our self-value. Like we can do tiny things to improve our estimation of ourselves and not be tipping into that overestimation of ourselves. Like, well, I am queen of my home and all of you people should serve me instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Perch, canary.
Yeah, we can, but we can go, we can think about our future self and care for our future self. So we can go, well, actually, I'm going to bring those clothes in off the washing line today because my future self is going to thank me for it. And I can, why do I vacuum my house when people are coming over, when I know somebody's coming over, but I can't do it for myself? Well, actually, I can do it for myself and I can love and care for my family in that way and care for and love and care for myself, because aren't I just as valuable as a tradie who's walking in tomorrow or our friends who are coming over? Like, why do I... And I, like, again, I'm sorry if you've heard all this before, but I do think that it is.
You tuned into a podcast that talks about this. No apology.
I think as mums, and I think that often our culture tells us as mums that we definitely should be the last on the list of priorities and that we definitely should lay down our lives for our families. And look, there's nothing wrong with laying down our lives for other people and caring, you know, doing things, serving other people. There is a problem when it's to the detriment of your own self-worth and your own self-value and your own being. Like, that's why they tell us to put our oxygen masks on first before we turn and put our oxygen masks on our children in an aeroplane, because we can only be of service when we are well.
Yeah.
So I really, really want to encourage you that you are valuable. You are loved. You are worthy of not self-sabotaging. Like, learn to love yourself and to value yourself and to value that your goals are worthy and your habit formation is worthy. And your future, not only with your will your future self thank you, but your people around you will thank you as well eventually. Maybe they won't thank you straight away because you've stopped cleaning up after them. I know my kids would, if I was cleaning up after them all the time, they certainly wouldn't be happy if I stopped all of a sudden. But they will eventually thank me because they will eventually be adults who can look after themselves, and their partners will thank me because I haven't given them a lazy so-and-so as a partner. What are your thoughts? I've been talking a lot, Amy. You've been asking all the questions and I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, I know. I like it though. I feel like I need to interject a review right now because this is just is perfect. So we had a review sent through from Lashton Zed on Apple Podcasts, and it's a 5-star review titled Warm, Friendly and Positive. And I just feel like it encapsulates how you've just been like pep talking everyone. These girls are real, so friendly, and this flows wholly through the podcast. You're left feeling like you've just had a pep talk with your best friends. I feel motivation to make real changes this year. And I was like, yes, that's like, I feel like you're just like Oprah. You're like channeling your inner Oprah right at the moment.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate being, I really do think that, that what an amazing honour to be associated anywhere close to being Oprah in people's lives. I don't think that, I'm glad that you think that. Not so sure if everybody else does, but so I'm good. Very thankful.
So good. So if you are a self-sabotager, sometimes the first thing to do is just notice it. Just be really conscious when you have kicked a goal or you've set yourself a goal and you notice that the behavior that you're undertaking is actually taking you in the opposite direction. When I used to have a personal trainer at the gym, and I think it was just after the kids were born, so like 15 years ago, and I remember her telling me that every time you choose to exercise, you're either walking towards your goal, or if you choose not to exercise, you're walking away from your goal. So if you kind of picture that you're standing there and you have your goal in front of you and the opposite of your goal, your anti-goal behind you, decisions that you make will either take you forward or backwards. And so noticing whether you are making decisions that take you towards your goal or you're making decisions that take you away from your goal can be a really great start. And then take those actions to take you closer. Like it's to really boil it down to black and white, just keep making those decisions that move you forward, not take you back to the anti-goal.
And put those supports in place that you need that will help you to make the wisest choice in any circumstance. So, you know, at the moment, I am trying to really reduce the snacks I have in between meals. So having a box of cookies sitting on my desk is asking a lot of self-control over me.
Yeah, but it's not really, Kirst, because you eat the weirdest biscuits. Can you tell everyone what the box of biscuits that you're referring to, what, tell them about the biscuit that you eat, Nana Kirsty?
Chocolate digestive. I can hear so many people yaying me right now.
No, it's the full Nana biscuit.
It is the full healthiest chocolate biscuit.
You have a little sherry at 4 o'clock as well before your Nana nap.
My point being that having them on my desk or within close range is asking a lot of self-control from me. And so is that actually walking towards my goal or away from my goal?
Totally.
So I need to get them out of my desk and away, far away from me. Because why would I do that to myself? And that's why it's like, okay, what's my value? What are my goals in that value? Like, you know, and what are my goals? And then what am I doing to support my goals?
Yeah.
So, and for a lot of people, that needs to be accountability. For the obliger, for the rebel, it cannot work depending on their mood. And for the questioner, accountability can be really, really helpful. Externalizing that internal motivation can be really helpful. And I was saying to somebody, one of my clients last week, was for me as a rebel who can, maybe I'm actually an obliger, depending, it depends.
It depends who's telling you what to do.
Yes, that you and Simon, Amy and Simon in my life are an extension of myself, and they do not, cannot be my motivators. They're my demotivators.
Yeah. When you, We're too close.
I rebel against you two so hard.
Yeah.
Like when, and you can say all the right things. Like Simon can be like, hey, babe, why don't you get up and go for a walk this morning? It's such a beautiful day. And all I want to do is punch him in the face at that point. Same with Amy. And I think it's the same for you and me, Amy. Yeah, like it's so funny. I can't motivate you because I'm too close to you. I'm an extension of yourself. Like, and the same with Cal. If Cal tried to encourage you, you'd also want to punch him in the face.
Why don't I do the opposite of what you're saying just to spite you? Which is self-sabotage.
It's in absolute essence of self-sabotage. Yeah. And so having that external motivator needs to be somebody other. In my opinion and in my lived experience, it needs to be that next circle of friends or that next or that even as far
but
as
a stranger.
Like, a stranger.
So good at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have great accountability in our Head, Heart and Home private Facebook group. And even some of the members have developed accountability partners that meet outside of the group just to keep each other accountable. So to have people that have the same goal as you working towards that goal is awesome to do within accountability. So if you're looking for someone to do the decluttering accountability with, our Head, Heart and Home group may be the answer for you.
And maybe just for you, it might just be our big Facebook community group. Maybe that's all the accountability and the support and the encouragement that you need. But we really do want to encourage you to put those supports around yourself so that you don't self-sabotage and look at your habits and see if there's any tiny, tiny changes you can make to your habits that make things easier for you to achieve so that you're not putting sabotages in your way deliberately. You know, for me, getting the box of biscuits out of my study, like that is a small habit that it's a tiny habit that I can change that will help me achieve my goal of not snacking in between meals. So what's something small habit changing can you do to improve your chances of not self-sabotaging?
Yeah, it and might even be as little as when I listen to the podcast, I'm going to do a micro declutter.
Yeah.
And the podcast goes for 30 minutes, sometimes 50 minutes, but I'm going to commit to 5 minutes of decluttering during the podcast.
Yeah, and then also working on your self-worth and the things that you say to yourself. I think for me, when it comes to kicking goals in what I would love to be kicking goals in, I really have to speak positively to myself that it does not help me when I speak negatively to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I'm homeschooling at the moment and hearing a child speak negatively over themselves does my head in. And I'm like, how is that helping you, child, to achieve your educational goals?
Yeah.
So I really want to encourage you, if you hear yourself speaking negatively to yourself, please, please be kind. Speak to yourself like you would your best mate. Say, you can do this. You are not lazy. You might be choosing right in this moment to make a lazy decision, but you are not lazy. You can do things. You can declutter. You can tidy up. You can do anything you put your mind to. So speak kindly.
I'm going to read another review, Kirst. This one's from Ms. CNR on Apple Podcasts. And it's a 5-star review titled, I recommend this podcast often. Thank you. It says, Kirsty and Amy are fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Did you write this one, Kirst? Yeah. I have loved listening to this podcast over the last few years as a soundtrack to my decluttering journey. I often recommend this podcast to family and friends. Thank you, ladies. Update. I first stumbled across the art of decluttering a few years ago when I was tidying my unit, trying to make space for my then boyfriend to move in. I remember posting on the Facebook group that I wanted to get my clutter under control so that he could move in and that we could feel that the place was ours and not just mine. Since then, we've lived together, got engaged, celebrated our wedding, and bought a house. So I must have done something right. The tools I learned through the Art of Decluttering podcast, the Facebook group, and the Head, Heart & Home course were helpful in our shoebox unit, including during lockdown, and now as we settle into married life in our house. Thank you for being a big part of my journey. Oh, that's so nice. We get to see you through all those seasons. That's kind of cool. That's the beauty of having never missed a week, Kirst, in over 4 years.
Has somebody posted in one of our groups this week, hey, I missed the podcast. And I'm like, and we were both like, yes, that's
there was an Apple podcast issue.
It was Apple podcast.
But not we're not going problem. Anywhere, baby.
So we will be back here on next week on Monday if you live in the Southern Hemisphere and Sunday if you live in the Northern Hemisphere.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that it's been an enlightening episode for you to understand yourself a bit better, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom. We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavour. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.